Hello and welcome to another...
We're back and Tom's already forgotten how to speak.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Just Say F It, where today we are talking about...
Melbourne Marathon Festival that's coming up this weekend.
Melbourne Marathon Festival, which is coming this weekend. It's an amazing time. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, especially following on from the Sydney Marathon Festival. I feel like we were pretty lucky to be part of that. And I think already it's Wednesday today and the city's already coming alive for it, which is really cool to see.
It really is. I think that's why I'm so excited about this, because after seeing Sydney, whilst we were there, I had the biggest FOMO.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody looked like they were having a good time, apart from that guy that was getting attended to.
Yeah, apart from that one guy. So Tom's doing the marathon. I'm doing the 10K.
Yep.
And I guess, how are you feeling for your marathon?
I'm feeling very, very, very good. I'm feeling really good, actually.
It seems like you've got, like, from what you've said to me, the training seems to have been, structured really well, and you're peaking right in time. I think your fitness is very much coming together.
I am peaking. So what's... Not just in fitness, just in life.
Yeah. It's because Taylor Swift's album's just come out. I know
it. It is, yeah, yeah. Everything's going well, you know. Ever since the ultra, my fitness has gone up dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I didn't really think would be a thing, but I guess because, I don't know, time on feet, not sure, whatever it is, it just kicked my body into another gear and was like, long distance is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it just takes time, could take weeks or months, whatever it is, for things to actually click. And we keep going back to Glastonbury. That undid a little bit of your fitness, but it's been, several weeks now since that. And you've very much, it seems like all of your running is very much falling into place, and your heart rate staying nice and low, regardless of the effort that you're putting into the intervals, which is really cool to see.
It is, yeah. I even went for a run with Lewis, our last and first guest on the podcast, and I broke him.
Yes, I heard about this. It sounds like it was supposed to be an easy run, turned into, things escalated, maybe?
No, it was always easy for me. That was the great part.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, from Lewis's perspective,
but it wasn't for him.
Yeah. So are you going head-to-head this weekend? Are you both in the marathon?
He is doing it, yeah. Okay. He obviously did the 100K. He absolutely did an amazing job. We'll get him back on to talk about that, because, it's actually astounding what he did. But he is now thinking of doing, his body hasn't recovered whatsoever.
Yeah.
And he's thinking about doing a 3-hour 15 marathon with a broken body. So we'll see how he goes. And I'm going to be realistic. I'm not going out to smash a PB. I'm going to try and stick at some 450s, and then if I get to about 30K, I'm like, actually, this has been real easy. I am then going to kick it up. Mm-hmm. Is basically my plan. But we will. He'll go off. I'm running with Meg.
What time will that give you?
450s. 3:23.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's a really smart way to do it. Rather than just going out at a pace you think you can kind of, maybe hold, it's better to be conservative, I think, from what I've heard about marathon running.
Well, we are going to cover this, because we have some topics to cover which you don't know about and I do.
Perfect.
So this is interview our in-house coach, Lissy, when it comes to running.
Well, I'm in the 10K this weekend, so very, very different from running a full marathon. But I guess there's some similarities, especially leading into race week. It's super important that you are, aware of how your body's feeling and making sure that you're looking after yourself, nutrition, hydration, sleep, all of these things that we talk about. I think for me, right now I've stepped up to do some longer distance training, and I'm challenging my body in ways that I haven't done previously. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm just tired. I feel really tired, and my body's probably not fully absorbing all of the training because of volume that I'm doing, and I guess the intensity and stuff. So I am in the 10K this weekend. Not super looking forward to it, just because I guess just that feeling of fatigue. I'm probably due for a rest day. And so over the next few days, I guess like my race preparation will be, I'm running about 130Ks at the moment per week. And so, you know, obviously I want to maintain that during race week, but I've sort of had to be a little bit, I guess, looking inward this morning, and I was thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to have a great run if I just keep being obsessed by, you know, the numbers of how many Ks that I've run or my splits, whatever it is. I think the best thing for me to do now is just to take it easy for the next few days and just kind of like relax and get to the start line on Sunday feeling like I actually want to be there. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure like you've had plenty of races where you turn up and you're just like, I just cannot wait for this to be over because you're just so exhausted and you just, you know, whether it's mentally or physically, sometimes you can feel burnt out before you even start. And so, I mean, I'm in a heavy training phase right now. This is not a priority to be racing well for me here. However, if you're going to do something, it's worth doing well. So I don't, you know, it's not nice to go to all the effort of doing a race just for like a mediocre effort. So,
yeah,
my goal for the next few days is just to recover, look after my body, and so that I can feel good on Sunday.
Yeah, perfect. I think the week before, and it's great that you actually said that because you actually jumped ahead to exactly what the question I was about to ask you, and you actually answered it, which means we're just so in sync.
Well, I know.
I think the week leading up to the event is the trickiest week of all of the weeks because I feel like you can go. You know, even if it's 4 or 5 weeks out, you can have a bad week and it's fine. And I feel like when you get to this week, there's that mental load of that natural feeling that you should be doing more, but you actually need to do technically a little less. And it's this weird feeling of, should I be doing less? I'm about to run really far and I don't think I should be doing it, but you actually need to also technically rest.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you is, because this will be coming out with 72 hours before the event. So for anybody doing the event, what do you think is the most important thing or things that people should be doing within those 72 hours?
I think you've got to listen to your body. If you feel like you need to move, go out for a walk. But I think if you saw a lot of people, I've spoken to a few people recently and they're either running Melbourne or Chicago. They're both on this weekend. And a lot of talk about the, I guess the niggles that pop up in taper phase, and you know all of these, what do you call them, phantom pains, phantom injuries, all these kinds of things. And I think that if something's feeling a little bit off, just cut the session short, cut the run short. Don't overdo it because if like in race week or leading into a race in general, like you can only do too much. Mm. You can't get fitter in the week leading into a race.
Nope.
So the only thing that you can do is tip yourself over the edge. And honestly, any training that you're actually doing in the week leading into a race, it's kind of irrelevant. I think it's mainly just for, I guess, like your mental confidence. So we're just talking about before that some people don't like tapering. Mm. It's something that, you know, obviously it's going to help your performance, but mentally some people just feel like they're getting unfit. So, you know, for the mind, you if you're that kind of person, like you probably do need to move, but recommend doing something that's like obviously not what you would usually be doing in the lead up, whether you want to you know switch it around for like a walk or just like easy pace running or whatever it is, to tick your legs over but still feeling like you have the confidence to be ready on race day.
Yeah.
But I think I think it's very common for people to be doing too much in the lead up to a race.
Yeah. When I first got into doing events, I noticed a lot of people that will have missed some training sessions that think I've got 1 week left and I need to get the rest of that training.
No, in that opposite. Time.
But you see so many people doing it.
No, that's think, not a good thing.
Don't do that.
No.
But I've seen it. You see it a lot. And I think it's really because of that worry and that that feeling of I'm about to go do something massive. And there is a lot of pressure with that event coming up. And if you do feel like you haven't done enough within that time, then cramming it in now is actually going to make it worse for that day.
I guess this is why everybody needs a coach, because it's not, I don't think it's very good or very healthy to sort of have these thoughts. But if you've got somebody there that's along with you on the journey, They can be like a voice of reason, I guess, in helping you decide, you know, what you actually need. Your coach will know you very well. They know what you need, what you respond well to. They'll know if you're acting crazy or wanting to do too much. So I think that's why it's super important to be like having somebody else there that's along with you on the journey so that they can actually see things for what they are rather than being caught up in it like we are ourselves when we're the runners.
Yeah, look, I know when we had that conversation that Lewis does the opposite, which was interesting to hear. But I'm very team coach. I've had a coach since I properly started and I've never not had a coach. And he guides me. There'll be a time where, like, because I can naturally want to push my body way further. I know this is technically a different conversation, but even within the last week, through different events, we've noticed that my body doesn't adapt too well when I start tapering too much. My taper is very different to what everybody else's taper is, because I kind of need to go in. Like, I mean, as an example, I had a 1 hour run at a pretty solid pace on Tuesday. Monday, I had a 2K swim. Today, I've had an hour on the bike at zone two. Then tomorrow, I've got an hour run with some intervals in there, with some pretty quicker paces. And then Friday, I've got another 2K swim. And then we've got a little jog with some people, I think. And then Saturday, we've got a shakeout, and then Sunday is marathon day. It's actually quite a big week, really, for me.
Oh, we'll see how your marathon goes then. But I guess like what I'm saying is that, okay, if Tom blows out to 4 hours, we know why. Tapering's not for me.
No. But I've done it where I've really, really tapered. And it is definitely a psychological thing for me as well.
Yeah.
But I can fluctuate so aggressively in weight that in that taper week, you can just start to feel just
like
heavy and sluggish.
Yeah.
And it's not as if I'm eating loads more, but because I've stopped and then I'm still, you know, you have to watch what you eat.
That classic carb loading phase, because you're doing less and you're loading up with carbs. And so your body's holding more. So you do feel a bit like heavier and sluggish, but it's literally just your body retaining all that glycogen, which is like, it's a good thing, but it doesn't always feel good.
Yeah, well, it is that dichotomy of do you eat a little less so you don't feel like you're putting on weight, but then you also need to eat the carbs so that your body is ingesting, you know, it's got enough of that glucose for when you're on the marathon day. But it's such a balance, which is, I mean, it brings it perfectly onto the topic that within that 72 hours that I was going to ask you is, what do you think is the best strategy for what people eat within that 72 hours? Because my understanding, and you, as I say, you correct me if I'm right or wrong here, my understanding is that the science is actually showing opposite to go and get a bowl the size of your face and smash it with a load of pasta and then go again and smash a load of pasta. And what people are now saying is, you know, just have an extra couple of slices of bread. You can go and have some pasta if you want. But then 3 days before, more simple carbs like bread, pasta, white rice, because it's easier for your body to absorb. But don't go and do like the biggest meals you've ever seen.
This actually brings me back to something, because I was going to say, I've never heard of anyone recommending anybody to have a bowl of pasta that's the size of your face, but I haven't heard that before. I've heard, yes, having more bread. I'll get back onto this, but when, so my sister's husband was training for an Ironman years ago, and he's a good athlete. He was doing about 10 hours for an Ironman. So like decent.
That's very good.
He had a coach and everything, and his coach told him to have three cups of pasta the night before, or like over whatever period or whatever. I'm pretty sure it was three cups of pasta.
That's a lot.
I mean, he's a big guy. He's like 6'5" and he's doing an Ironman.
Yeah, fair.
So we sat down, we were over there for dinner, and we were all eating whatever we were eating, but he had his pasta because he had his Ironman coming up. And it was a salad bowl filled with pasta because
that's what I mean.
He accidentally did three cups of uncooked pasta. So you can imagine how much that, like how much it swelled to by the time it was time to eat it. So when I was thinking, I've never heard anyone recommend eating massive balls of pasta, I actually have this one time, but it wasn't, it was an accident. But he was like, he's sitting there and he was like, how am I supposed to get through this?
My friend Sion last year, this is so good. He really only did two runs before doing the Melbourne Marathon, which was a terrible. He was just like, I'm signed up. I'm just gonna have to do it. He does have an incredible level, like base level of fitness. Like if he actually went in to go and do an event with a good bit of training, I would be I think he would be unbelievable. Anyway, he decided to order some pasta in the night before last year's Melbourne Marathon, and it got lost, so then he had to order it again, or something like it took a while. Anyway, the pasta arrived at 10:30 at night, and he was like, "Well, I've got to eat it," and he had a massive garlic bread, and it was not going to go well. No, and it was like the size of, he said it was the biggest like plate of pasta he's ever seen. He ate that at 10:30 at night, and then he obviously went to bed at about 11-ish, so he's to sleep with a load of pasta in his belly that he hasn't digested. Then he's woken up. The Melbourne Marathon's at what, 6:30 is when it starts. So he's eating a massive bowl of pasta literally 8 hours before he needs to go and do this run. Because you usually got to get up as well, don't you? Let's say a couple of hours before, which we'll get into, and smash some stuff down.
He probably was not hungry for breakfast.
Oh no, he was not. But he ended up, I think he had to stop 7 times to go to the toilet.
Oh, that's horrible. He's probably got a fructose problem.
It was so bad that on Beach Road, there's like a public toilet, and he was in such a bad way, he forgot to lock it, and people were just opening the door, and he was like, please leave me alone.
Oh, that's horrific. Yeah, I would definitely recommend, first of all, not trying anything new. I would also recommend not eating out the night before a marathon.
Yeah.
I think it's not really worth it.
I would agree with that.
Like in terms of pasta, I think, I remember like when I was a kid, people were talking about having pasta the night before a run or whatever. And that used to be the thing that everyone used to eat before a run. I don't think, I mean, there's so many different carb options. So it doesn't have to be pasta. You can have, I guess, like anything that's high in carb.
Yeah.
My personal recommendation of, and I've spoken to a dietitian about this as well, like to get help. But I'd stay away from meat the night before because it takes, especially red meat. Takes time to digest, and also stay away from like creamy sauces. So I think if you're going to have, to be honest, if you're actually trying to carb load properly, you just want carbs. So it's going to be pasta with salt. There's no cheese, there's no sauces, maybe a little bit of just like plain red sauce.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just carb. And I think that, because when you're saying that you're, you know, you can feel a bit kind of like heavy eating pasta stuff, I think often it's people are trying to carb load, but they're eating meals that are high in carbohydrates but in a normal way. So for example, rather than eating plain pasta with salt, they're eating like spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
And so you've got all of the meat and all of that is actually like, that's quite heavy and that's quite filling.
Yeah.
But if you get rid of that, like eating carb loading before a marathon is not pretty, it's not tasty.
No.
It's not like it's purely just for performance.
Yeah.
And so I think that the more that you can eat that's just like plain, you know, it's going to be toast with jam, there's no butter, there's no this is if you're doing it properly as well.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
like for most people this is not you know, no one really wants to do this, but I guess to have your body be able to I guess like absorb hold in as much glycogen as possible.
Mm.
It just needs to be pure carbs and, you know, minimal, I guess a little bit of protein. You don't really want fat because that's just going to be harder to digest. So keeping it as plain and simple, and I feel like it's always white, lots of rice, bread, white bread, jam, bananas.
Yeah.
I tend to like LCM bars.
Nice.
But I just think that they digest really, really well. Also creamed rice. Couple of things that I like.
Yeah, nice. I've started doing like potatoes.
Potatoes. I'm not a potato person, but yeah, they're excellent.
Just a good bowl of new potatoes with just a little bit of butter.
Yeah.
Bit of salt.
Yep.
Because I still need to do a blood test at some point. I think I've got some sort of intolerance to wheat, but I'll still eat it. So.
Yeah.
And doing that before a race though, not good. Because for me, well, not good. when I say not good, I mean not good for me, because it is upsetting my stomach. And if it upsets my stomach, then how do I have a good day with nutrition?
Yeah. But I mean, like, and that's why things like rice and potatoes, these sorts of things are going to be excellent options for you.
Yeah, I think so. The other thing as well, which we have well addressed within this podcast, that I always need to do better is hydration. How?
Yes, we have.
How do you best prepare yourself to be hydrated for race day in 72 hours for the race?
Electrolytes, super important. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be expensive or anything fancy. Mm. Hydrolyte is an excellent option, not super high in sugar. And it's pretty natural. It's just getting the electrolytes in so that all of the water that you're taking in, it's actually being able to be absorbed by your body rather than just being flushed out.
Yeah, I religiously now take one every morning and I feel unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was talking about this to a friend a couple of days ago and they were saying, how on earth have you got to 37 and only just figured this out?
Yeah. For sure.
Thank you.
Do you want like some praise for that? Yeah, no, absolutely.
Oh, I thought you could just be like, no. That's
we're all so proud of you. It's amazing. Congratulations. What flavor?
No, just be like, no, it is normal to be 37 and realize that, you know, maybe, you know, electrolytes can be good for you.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I don't know. Probably.
I have them in races. I just never thought about doing it every morning.
Yeah.
But it's like night and day difference.
Yeah. Just being hydrated is, I think it's an absolute game changer, not just to your running, but just to everyday life, right? Like you just feel better.
Yeah. I feel so much better. So much more energy. Wild. Every morning I'll smash one of those down and then I'll have a semi-large coffee.
Yep.
And on my way I go. Full of liquid in the belly. One thing,
nice little diuretic there to get rid of all of the hydration you've done.
One thing that has become very popular, mild small little plug for us here, but one thing that has become very popular is a shakeout run the day before a marathon. Thoughts on shakeout runs?
Oh, I think they're fantastic. There are so many. I think I've seen all over social media this week, there's so many different shakeout runs at all different times, all different days. And so I think it's a really great way for people to be able to connect with other people running the race before the actual race day. A lot of people are running the marathon or event on the marathon day with friends.
Yep.
A lot of people are running it solo as well. So I definitely encourage anyone just to get out to any of these groups and go for a shakeout run, go for a walk. Maybe just come to ours because it's going to be excellent. And I think they're all different for us. I know we're going to do a 5K or 3K run at various paces, and it's kind of more about just like getting together and connecting before race day. It's nothing special, not a fast-paced run.
Nope.
Followed by grilled at the end. So I think my recommendation is to get around it. Get around as many as you can. You don't have to just isolate yourself to one.
No, but if you were going to, 2 hours.
Come to ours, 10 o'clock at Grilled in Richmond.
It starts at 10, but there at 9:30 Grilled, Swan Street.
Tom and Richmond. I are going to have to tell ourselves it starts at 8:30 just so that we're actually on time. It's a problem.
I'm going today.
So prepared. Even then we'll probably find a way to like be late. Yeah. All right.
There is actually a bit of science behind shakeout runs apparently, and it is incredibly good for removing the nerves of the coming day.
Yeah, for sure. I think you don't really want to have a day off running the day before a race, because you can just get, I guess, like a little bit of a build up that if you're used to running all the time, kind of like the whole idea is to sort of shake out and get your body moving in the lead up to it. So yeah, I wouldn't usually take a day off before a race.
One question for you as well. This is an area that I most certainly am not well informed on. And you would definitely agree on that.
Where are we going?
Yeah. And apparently within 72 hours of the race, it's also very good. You should be doing it well before this. But your tips on stretching and mobility.
Oh, this is a good one. And this is actually a game changer. This is something I definitely need to improve on. I have worked on it, I think, a little bit recently. Only because I feel like I have to. I think you get to a point where you're just like, something is really sore, and so you have to become really diligent in stretching to help that. I mean, it's tricky. Within 72 hours of a race, I think a blanket rule is don't actually change anything. So I wouldn't actually recommend anyone to do anything different within like the 72 hours before a race. But I think that stretching and doing, I think dynamic stretching is really good because you're not holding anything. You're not going to do any damage to the muscles.
Yeah.
But stretching is a really great way for your body to relax. So especially if you're someone that feels a little bit anxious before a race, or you're starting to get a little bit nervous and it's affecting your sleep, just doing 10 minutes of stretches before you go to bed can really calm, calm your nervous system and relax your muscles so that you can just like go to bed relaxed and can have a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend doing that. And for me, to be honest, I just think I always feel better when I'm doing a proper activation. So, doing some dynamic stretches and warm up before a race, any run, and also post run as well.
Yeah.
I think super important just to keep the body limber and mobile. And sometimes you don't realize how good you can actually feel until you're doing this. Like, 'cause you just get used to feeling, you know, your body how it is, like stiff and that feels pretty normal. And then, you know, you start doing this regularly and you certainly notice differences. But again, I think it's something you want to be implementing in the weeks, like leading into it. It's just like a regular part of your routine, not like you don't want to have, 72 hours before the race and start doing like 30-minute stretching sessions a couple of times a day, like, or anything. But
I will say this though, on that, that yoga session that we did the day before my ultra marathon, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I felt so much more limber.
I felt so relaxed for the whole day, which was like, but I feel like it affected my productivity, to be honest. Like, I was too relaxed.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah. So I reckon
when we tried to talk after it, neither of us had anything to say.
Half asleep, I think. but it just shows like how good that is before dinner. After dinner, sorry, before sleeping.
Before
I'm still tired from it. But yeah, I think there's so many different things. There's heaps of different options on YouTube as well. It doesn't have to be. Ours I think it was like 70 minutes, 75 minutes long. Was it our session?
It was an hour session, yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time. Felt like a long time.
It felt long, didn't it?
Yeah. But it was nice. It was enjoyable. It was the kind of thing that I didn't really want to end.
Yeah.
Because you're just so immersed in the experience. But, there's plenty of things that you can do. And even just like 15 minutes from home. And I think in the last podcast we spoke about breath work. I think that's something you can always – you know what? Actually, that's something that I reckon you could include in into your race preparation 72 hours before, because it's not going to change anything. It's not going to affect your body and make you feel any different. But a little bit of breath work. And I did a bit of this Wim Hof breathing. And Lewis Mint was talking about it last week. Mm. And just like – breath holds and I guess like training your breath in different ways.
Yeah.
I think it's excellent. And I think it's something that it's just, even if it's just brain training, learning to kind of like hold your breath and stay composed and controlled.
Were you doing the weird arm movements as well?
What were they?
the Wim Hof, where he's got his arms sort of moving side to side.
I haven't seen that, but swaying. I definitely want to see it.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, I'm definitely going to explore that. And actually, I forgot about this, so I'm glad that you reminded me. I'm glad I reminded myself, whoever brought it up. I reckon I'd definitely do it.
No, I agree with the breath work. I think it's amazing. I don't know if I've covered this on here, but you and I have definitely spoken about it when I bought those smart goggles.
Yes.
Where they basically massage around your eyes and your temple, and they've got a heat mask in there as well. And there's a sensor that can tell what your heart rate is, and it will vibrate slower than your heart rate to bring your heart rate down.
Wow.
And we usually have a meeting with our developers very late on a Monday night, and then I'm awake because it's just constant, you know, conversation and then ideas. And once I finish, I go and put that mask on and I do a 7-minute session, and it's like guided breath work as well. I am passed out every single time. I wake up as if some guys just shot me in the head. Mm. So the power of that and sleep. Speaking of that,
yeah, we all need to get
some good sleep in before a race.
Yeah. Actually, two things. Mm-hmm. I feel like you asked me for one piece of advice. Now I'm just going to like, it's just like a waterfall. It's coming. It's like when it rains, pours. So one thing I was thinking of as well, and I feel like I'm particularly tense in my traps, like up in my neck and shoulders. Same. And so I reckon getting a massage is a really good idea. And I think I'm definitely getting a massage tomorrow, like a full body one. Mm. But if you're not used to it, it's obviously not something you want to do.
I will say.
No, I'm going deep and hard.
Yeah, but I'll
I'm used to it.
I just want to say, there's the look.
I'm used to
the look of realization of what you were saying.
I'm used to some like really deep tissue massage though. So it's like I can do
this
it on
the
same day.
This is the reddest I've ever seen you.
Okay, anyway.
So good. Anyway, yeah.
I was going to say. Can you actually cut that out?
No, it's staying in. That's so good.
Okay, anyway, what I was saying was that even if you're not used to, like, I'm actually quite used to really firm massages that are really, like, hard.
Yep.
But if you're not used to it, then it's not something you want to do, like, before a race.
Yeah.
So I would recommend even just getting to there's a really great Thai massage place near me. There's plenty of them in the city and South Yarra. Like, I don't know, to be honest, plenty in the area. And I would recommend just getting like a neck and shoulders massage just to kind of help relax your body. And I don't know, I think it helps with sleep and recovery and all of that stuff, which is absolutely vital leading into a race.
I went for a deep tissue massage. I went for a deep tissue massage, right? I'm going to have to try and get through this. And he went so hard. He went like, it was a couple of times, right? But the first one I went for, he... I'm so sorry. He probably got in there, and weirdly, it was like he was trying to have a conversation with me, but he would ask me questions before just before he would start doing what he was doing. They'd be like,
"Oh no!"
He'd go, "Oh, so you know what kind of sport is it that you do?" And then he'd start, and I go, "I do all your moves." Couldn't even get it out right. Anyway, I didn't realize that you're supposed to wait 24 hours before you start like real vigorous exercise again. And I, the next day, so I had it on the Thursday night, the Friday morning, I had a 3.8K swim that I needed to do. And I got, I got into the deep end and my entire body just cramped. I was just slowly going down.
I wonder if that's actually got something to do with your, I wonder if you didn't drink enough water afterwards.
Well, we do know that my history of hydration. But yeah, he absolutely broke me. And the other time, my girlfriend bought me a massage, and this guy was like, it was while I was doing that 10 in 10, supposed to be a really nice thing. He was like, how hard do you want to go? And I explained kind of, you know, what I was doing. I was like, look, you're the expert. I'll go by your lead. And he also did that thing where he was talking to me and then he would ask me a question when I like was about to go in severe pain. And the pressure he was putting on, I've never felt anything like it. And I was thinking, I don't know if this is legal. Like, this is bad. And then I said to him, so how long have you been doing this for? And he was like, oh, I've only been doing this for I've only been here for 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. So but how long have you been doing it as a whole? He was like, oh, I learned it through COVID. And then I decided I was going to do it like, I'd say probably 10 months ago. And this is my first.
Self-taught?
Basically, it was online. And he was like, this is my first job. So I was going off of the advice of a guy who
to be honest,
was only 2 weeks in.
That's impressive that he was able to be that firm you know, being kind of
He was hench.
Yeah, that's really impressive. I reckon that's always the hardest thing. I think I love going to Thailand for the Thai massages. And so whenever I'm even in Melbourne, I like seek for the Thai massages because they just do all kinds of things. Like they kind of like they do a bit of like stretching and stuff as well. And I think that, you know, I'm a really stiff kind of runner. So having I think just like putting my body in like awkward positions and stretching it just sort of feels really good. I feel really like loose and opened up. And I just flew back from London last week and accidentally had a 6-hour layover in Bangkok, and guess what I found? A Thai massage place. Yeah,
nice.
That was best thing. And so I think from that, I didn't realize how much tension I was carrying in my neck and shoulders, and that was incredible for me to do that.
I've had a Thai massage a couple of times, but the first time I had it, the woman couldn't stop laughing because of how much pain I was in. I was like, is this supposed to be relaxing? Like this is purgatory.
That was actually kind of similar to the experience that I just had at the Bangkok airport.
Start clicking your toes out.
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
It's all a bit weird, but I love it. I think it's great.
One thing that is the next bit that is probably the bit that we should have spoken about most, I would say, but is race day tips and tricks.
Okay. Actually, you know what? I have one more thing that I was going to say, but this kind of ties into this, I think, as well, especially if you're the person that gets kind of nervous before a race and you struggle to sleep. I was told this by a doctor recently who's often having to get up, I guess, in the middle of the night to do on-call stuff. You know, they get like called in and they have to do that kind of stuff. And she was saying that she's got this strategy where you have your eyes closed, right? Mm. You look up, you look down, you look left, you look right, and then you do a loop anti-clockwise with your eyes, like roll your eyes anti-clockwise, and then you roll your eyes clockwise. And you just do that over and over again. And she reckons she can't even get to 5 rounds of that before she falls asleep. And so I think that the most important thing is being able to get a good night's sleep the night before.
Yeah.
If you don't get a good night's sleep, I think don't worry about it, because I think it's so easy to get fixated. And I'm the kind of person who has, since I was a little kid, I've struggled to sleep. I'm okay now because I've got lots of strategies in place, but I think most of my life I've struggled to sleep. And I think that as soon as you start getting a little bit anxious and worried that you can't sleep, it just makes everything worse.
Oh, 100%.
And so I think don't worry if you don't get a good night's sleep the night before the race. Mm. You'll get through the race. You'll be tired in the afternoon. That's fine. Have a nap. You'll have adrenaline for a while. But I think, some strategies to take your mind off it, I think that's a really good one.
Some of the best races I've done, I've had great sleeps 2 nights before, but the night before I've had not a great sleep, and they've been some of my best races.
My mum, when I was a teenager, my mum would tell me this as well. Like, I think I would just be like up, even if it was like if I had like exams or if I had something on at school, I don't think it was even running related, but my mum used to say it's always 2 nights before that really counts.
Yeah.
And I think that was always really good advice, I think.
Yeah, I do.
Even if it just eases your mind. Maybe, I don't know.
That made me sound like I was agreeing with my own point there. But
the best advice.
But
in terms of race day, I would say be organized, be early.
Yep.
The day before, write down, I like to write a list of exactly like times and places and things that I need to do. So I guess, for example, my race, I think, starts at 7:30.
Yep.
I think it's 7 or 7:30. Yep. Let's say it's 7:30. I think it could be 6:30.
You're 7.
I'm 7. What time do you start?
6:30.
You 6:30, I'm 7. Okay, so I start at 7. So I guess I'm going to run there from my house.
Yeah.
So I will leave my home at 7 o'clock. I'll probably be about 10 minutes late.
Don't leave at 7 because your race starts at 7.
What? Okay, sorry. This is why I need to write it down the day before, because
Whoa.
I will turn up late. Okay, I'm going to leave my house at 6.
Yeah.
Knowing me, it takes me, I have a little bit of trouble. Like when I decide that I'm going to leave, it takes me time to get out the door. So I'm going to say I'll actually be leaving at probably 6:10.
Yeah.
I'm going to run to the start line. I think it's probably like 4, maybe 5K to get there.
Yeah.
I'll run with my shoes in my hands, planning these things, I guess.
Why are you running with your shoes on your hands?
Because I will be racing in different shoes from my
one. Oh, fair.
Yeah.
In your hand.
I didn't need to say that. That was irrelevant. Okay, let's go back. That's not what I meant to say. 6 o'clock is leaving. So I guess the whole point of writing the list is like, what are you going to do up until 6 o'clock? I'm probably going to get up at 5 because I think you're better off just having more time up your sleeve, even just to sort of wake up, have a coffee, let your body digest the food and everything that you're going to be having before.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm probably going to get up. First thing I'll do is probably like make a coffee, have some breakfast, which will be porridge and banana, I think. And then, I mean, I'll have everything sort of planned out the day before. So go to the shops, make sure you've got any snacks. So I'll have that for breakfast. There's a chance I might still need a top up before the race. Yep. So I'll probably take some M&Ms, maybe a creamed rice or something like that if I need it. I mean, I'm only running 10K, so I'm sure I'll be fine. But yep. I think just be loaded up with whatever you need just in case, and write a list of the things that you need to do. So I guess there's plenty of little things that I'll be writing on my list, things like strapping tape. I'll be taping my feet up before the race. I'll probably take some hydrolyte or like some sort of electrolyte tablets. Mm-hmm. I'll be taking, little things like that. Whatever you actually need on race day, it's going to be really different for everybody. Are you going to be wearing a hat, sunglasses? Do you need change of clothes, change of socks? These little things to sort of keep yourself comfortable. I'm really lucky that I live like pretty close by. So I'm going to take not much and literally just turn up to the start line, I think, because that'll be easier. And I've got to continue my long run after the race. So if I do need anything, I can just sort of run home. But yeah, my recommendation would be, not that anyone asked my life story, but my recommendation would be to just be completely organized on Saturday so that when you wake up on Sunday, everything is there. Your clothes are laid out. Your food is laid out, your hydration, everything is ready. So you don't actually have to think.
Well, most people's clothes and hydration and gels and shoes and hat and glasses, etc., are all laid out because they've gone and taken a photo the day before for their Instagram.
Well, yeah, if that's what you've done, then do that. I think that's important.
Just lay it all out. Make sure it's all there. Take a photo of it. Leave it.
Yeah, and that's actually, if you're going to take a photo, and especially if you're going to post it to your social media, maybe just write in, have I forgotten anything? Get some tips from friends so that you know, if there's anything else that you might actually need.
Yeah. It's become quite a trend, hasn't it?
I've never done it, but maybe this is the first time, because then at least I'll be organized for race day and I won't be running around looking for my favorite running undies.
Yeah, nice.
I don't
pack
have
of M&Ms. Ones. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification. With the marathon, from my experience, I always get up 2.5 hours before the race, and I will immediately go and get some oats, like you just said, a bit of porridge, but I'll also put protein powder in it.
I'd also recommend putting salt in it too.
I get a bit of honey in there.
Yeah, but just I think like
a bit of salt. I also take hydrolyte before, so I'll have my electrolytes.
Yeah.
So perfect. Probably wouldn't want to put any more salt in, would I?
I mean, I like salt just to taste it a little bit, because I don't really like sweet porridge. But
you like salty porridge?
Yeah, I do.
Today's been a podcast of lessons and
learnings. On that note.
Last quick thing. I know you need to go in a couple of minutes. Last quick thing, for people that are worried about when they go across, when they're actually doing the race and they're doing, let's say, I don't know, marathon, half marathon, 10K, what are the do's and don'ts, five quick do's and don'ts of the actual race?
I think the first thing I can think of, the first thing that springs to my mind, and I've made this mistake twice, is going too hard in the first little bit. So in the Melbourne Marathon, all races start up. It doesn't seem like a very steep hill, but I think probably particularly in the 10K and the half marathon, because it's a slightly faster pace, you can really cook yourself by going too hard up that hill.
You can,
And I think it's really hard. So my recommendation would be just to chill out and don't worry. I'd say don't worry about your pace early on, because you can make up a lot of time later on if you don't cook yourself. But if you go out too hard, then it's just going to be a really rough day and it's not going to be fun.
I agree.
I think hydrate as much as possible every time you get to a hydration station.
Mm-hmm.
Just try and grab something, because your body's always going to feel better with fluid.
If this is your first time doing it as well, on that hydration, I would say pinch your cup and then sip from it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I did it at the wellness run, I was basically waterboarding myself.
Yeah.
I was like, why? How the hell are people doing this?
Yeah. You don't get anything in at all.
Nothing.
And I think I would say, gels. I think a lot of people talk about gels. I think really important hydration. I think if you're going to get anything along the way, get water. Don't like it's great to be having the gels, but I think that like you don't want the concentration to be too high in your stomach, because then that can really upset your stomach.
Cement block.
Yeah. So you need to like keep you'll be losing a lot of fluid. Yeah. So hydrate as much as possible.
Yeah. On that with gels, only take gels you've trained with. I've done it before where I haven't trained with them and it's gone.
Mm. But also, I guess if you haven't trained with them, just take a bag of lollies, something, jelly beans. Yeah. Just do something that you're comfortable with. Like, don't feel just because everyone's doing gels that you have to. Stick with what feels good.
Do you want to know one of mine?
Yes. Sorry, I should have asked.
No. I wasn't expecting you to ask. That's why I thought so. I one of mine is don't put too much pressure on yourself. It is going to hurt at some point. And if it gets too bad, peel back a bit.
Yeah.
And reassess, see where you're at, and then go from there. And if you, sometimes you can be going too hard. And then when you've got this thought of, I need to do this time, you'll just keep going. And you don't go, do you know what? I just need to slow down a minute, let my heart rate come back down, just take a second, and then get the pace again. And I think that's where so many people blow out. And I think really the way that people don't and they get their PB is just by taking each step as it comes and assessing and moving. And if you have all of that pressure, the weight of the world of, I have to get this PB, most likely you will not get that PB.
I think that's really smart advice. I think I was actually just having a conversation with one of my training partners about this the other day, and we've had some really windy days out in Albert Park recently, and sometimes it can be really demoralizing when, I guess I was in a, I was doing a session like 3x5K last week, and in the last one, I just called myself, I was like, this is starting to get really hard. And so the guy that I was running with, we're just like, let's just chill out for a little bit. And I think my mind sort of spirals to be like, oh no, this is going to ruin the pace, because we had a set pace that we're supposed to be keeping. And if we slow down now, then it's going to kind of ruin it. And so the instinct is to want to like push through the hurt, but it's not always the best thing to do. So we actually just like chilled out for a little bit. And then towards the end, like with 1K the rep to go, we were able to like increase it because we had let our body sort of recover a little bit. We're able to push it faster, and our average pace was only like 1 second slower than it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think that expectation and the pressure, it can be really stressful. And just I think it's more about wanting to, like, you can find yourself wanting to stop because you can't maintain the pace.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know what? If you just go 20 seconds slower per K, you can maintain that.
Yeah,
so just be okay with that, and don't get too caught up in it. And
You'll be amazed how much you can just rev yourself back up. And last thing I'll say before Lissy has a run to go to, but last thing I will say is enjoy it. This is the time, the celebration of all that hard work. And if it goes well, great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. But you've still gone and run the distance that you've trained for, and you got yourself to the start line.
Yeah, absolutely. And like it's the festival as a whole is like it's amazing. So amazing. And so don't get too like, I would definitely recommend don't get too caught up or beat yourself up if you're not like running as fast as you want, or you don't get the result that you want, because you'll miss out on the whole festival, which is like, it's actually magical.
Yeah. And then go get a can of beer, crack it open. Beer or Coca-Cola tastes phenomenal after a big race.
Or burger. Maybe all three.
All three. And just enjoy yourself. If you do see us out there, come and say hello. Come to our shakeout run, 9:30 Beyond Blue, Grilled, Swan Street, Richmond. And also Running Expo. Come around the Beyond Blue tent and you'll see us there as well. Come and say hello. But good luck. Bon chance.
And have fun.
And have fun.
Gambaremasho.
Goodbye.